The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning, 8 a.m. Central Time, Friday, May 12, 2023. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Thank you so much for joining us. Phone lines are open, by the way. Still trying to reach out and touch John. John's not answering this morning. Everybody's probably sleeping. You know, when you switch to time zones and things like that, people get confused. I get it. So we're trying to reach out and get John on the phone here so we can finish our conversation for Feel Good Friday here. TGIF, the government is, you know what. C.S. Lewis concluded in The Abolition of Man that the more man looks into nature with the eye to master and control it, the more man himself is taken captive by nature. This is unexpected, but the logical conclusion is that it will ultimately result in the abolition of man, not nature. I wonder if that's why the margarine commercial said it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. You remember that? Yeah. It's either trying to mess with the science comes in and tries to mess with the human genome. This is where we have a real problem. We have to be very aware of the technology that's going on around us, by the way. This E-Verify program is a Trojan horse for digital tyranny, and now Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a bill into law that makes E-Verify in the state of Florida legitimate. So that means that if you have a country full of illegal workers and you have more than 25 employees at your business, then E-Verify basically is like a simple solution. All employers required to check citizenship and work eligibility when hiring. People support it because it doesn't harm them. It keeps others from competing with them. We're simply solving the problem of stop flooding into work. There's no jobs for you anymore. And why do you think people are coming up here? Because they want jobs. They're willing to even work in agriculture. Because, see, nobody's crazy enough to block that and let the crops rot in the fields. So they need workers to pick. Yeah, we need workers out there to pick cotton. Yeah. I mean, this is seriously, I can't believe that Georgia Democrat. I can't believe it. Here's a black guy that's sitting there saying we need him to clean our houses and feed us. And I'm like, dude, seriously? It's like, it's about as serious as people in California demanding millions of dollars in reparations. I'm just like, oh, this is really getting crazy. It's really getting crazy. Biden's EPA, by the way, has announced the toughest ever rules for power plant emission. They really want to sit there and chuck this country down the toilet when it comes to utilities. And I don't know how we're going to manage this. Like Robin Williams said, you know, you got to study methane. It's kind of hard holding the chicken over the gas tank. Wow. Craziness, huh? Finally got John on the line. John Odermatt is a passionate advocate for criminal justice reform and libertarianism. I ran into a couple of those libertarians last night at the Texit meeting in San Antonio. It's amazing. I don't subscribe to every single thing that the libertarian mindset does. I like the part about pushing the red button and turning another country into a nuclear parking lot and going on about my business. But aside from that, I'm not sure about, you know, I read the Cato Institute regularly and I don't always agree with everything they say. But John Odermatt's journey began in the world of podcasting about a decade ago. He has since become the co-founder of the Lions of Liberty Network. Lionsofliberty.com is the website. Has years of experience under his belt hosting the popular Finding Freedom podcast. He interviews individuals who face the injustice of the criminal justice system. Just like that guy, in Louisiana that just got released from prison after being unlawfully incarcerated for rape 29 years ago. I mean, 29 years he's been, and the victim herself was saying he didn't do it, and prosecutors ignored it, and, you know, this is what's wrong with our justice system. John Odermatt, thanks so much for joining us here on the Power Hour. Recidivism is something that I wish we could put a positive spin on, but when the economy starts to suck wind, we can see this from a libertarian viewpoint, can we not? How do you have recidivism when people are so tempted to go right back into prison because it's safer there? I don't know.
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me on the show. And let me first say, Dave, there's a lot with libertarianism as I've aged and grown in the movement, a lot that I disagree with as well, too. So it's more a mental framework that I use to view the world than anything else now. Not really a political ideology, but recidivism. You know, I think the problem is so complicated that it goes back to, you know, legislation that has been, you know, in our system for decades that really has created this situation that incentivizes people to really repeat this behavior over and over and over again. And yeah, sure. Once people do get out of prison, we're not doing a great job of setting them up for success. We're not giving them skills and training them and, you know, giving them the ability to actually have success after prison. So that's one of the huge problems. And, you know, prison itself, a lot of people, and I think it's really on the conservative side. This would be a criticism for conservatives where, you know, they'll say you're in prison. It's supposed to be, you know, terrible, the worst experience of your life. If you know, if people, you know, they talk about getting raped in the shower, things like that, they say, oh, sure, you did a crime. You deserve to get that. I don't really look at it that way. Sure, do your time. I don't think, you know, abuse above and beyond that is really necessary. But putting, you know, giving someone the skills, education, ability to reenter society and have a way to land on their feet, I think that's necessary.
Well, people don't look at it as, well, you made a mistake, we move on. They don't look at it that way. It's all of a sudden, wait a minute, you have a record, you have a rap sheet as long as your arm, you're a habitual offender. You know, the three strikes law didn't help matters much either, because now the taxpayer gets to pay for their upkeep for the rest of their life because they're sitting and rotting in a prison cell. I mean, this makes zero sense when they could be productive in society, but you know, our system does not look at that. And it looks almost like, for example, like there's a situation where we are looking into trying to have a functional society, and we don't have a functional society when we have a system that caters to privatization of prisons, kickbacks, judges wanting to incarcerate. Mm-hmm. I mean, this thing starts at a very young age with judges incarcerating juveniles and getting paid money for it under the table. I mean, we know this is going on. This is the bigger part of the problem is, and this is why you're talking about prison reform. that's a long road to hoe, John. I mean, yeah. You're fighting a system that literally has entrenched itself in this kind of behavior.
Yeah, and I mean, the private-public prison debate is an interesting one. You know, I don't think, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there's not as a large percentage of private prisons as I think the conception is out there. I think that the bottom line is we do incarcerate too many people for nonviolent crimes. When I talk about prison reform, I don't want to confuse myself with, you know, leftists who, you know, talk about bail reform and, you know, letting violent criminals, you know, back onto the streets. I'm not talking about that. But I think we need to, you know, relook at, you know, locking someone up for, you know, maybe a consensual drug transaction. And I'm not someone, you know, I am a libertarian, but I'm not a libertine. I am a conservative libertarian. I'm not in favor of people using drugs, although I don't think we should be using, you know, the force of government to dictate how people live their lives in that way. If they want to harm themselves, if they want to make their life more difficult, that's a choice that they can make. But getting some of these nonviolent drug laws off the books, clearing those people out of prisons, focusing on actual violent crime and locking those people up is really where I think the emphasis needs to be.
Well, you know, when they declared the war on drugs, I mean, that whole thing was senseless to begin with, because the thing is marijuana or cannabis, as it were, now they're finding all sorts of productive uses for it, like taking the male plant and making CBD oil out of it and using that to make gummies to help people with pain issues. And we know that. That's why they have medical marijuana in so many states now. And now they want to pass, and have recreational drugs. I mean, what a great way to take over a country is get everybody stoned.
Oh, man, you mean we got to get everybody stoned? Oh, man, it smells like Michoacan, man.
Oh, far out, man. Hey, it always brings up the Cheech and Chong era for me. I have way too much fun with that. But the thing is you guys started, and I'm talking about Brian McWilliams, your partner. When you started Lions of Liberty in 2012, what was your objective in doing this?
Yeah, back in 2012, that was pretty early, relatively, in the podcasting space, I think. Things got pretty crazy when the pandemic hit. Now everyone has a podcast, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about
that. But honestly, how we started out, so I got attracted to the ideas of liberty. I grew up a conservative, George Bush, Iraq war supporting conservative. And when Ron Paul ran for president in 2008, that's kind of what opened my eyes to some of these libertarian ideas. And just a group of friends we all went to the same college. We all went to Penn State and we graduated. We were keeping in touch. We were talking about politics and other things on, an email chain. And, we started talking about the election and Ron Paul, and it just started to gather traction in our friend group. And eventually, over time, we started diving deeper into these ideas, these libertarian ideas, reading books, and we end up writing these essays back and forth to each other on this email chain. And we're like, what the heck are we doing here? There's like 10 of us seeing this. We're spending all this time writing here. Why don't we start one of those blogs that people have? So we started a blog and put that up and got some pretty good traction. We used to post on a site called The Daily Paul. That was pretty big back in those days and got a pretty big following. And then one of our co-founders at the time, we actually co-founded with three members, Mark Clare, who's since gone off to start his own show. But he started the podcast by accident. He had a guest who wanted to talk about some ideas on Skype. And he said, the guest said, hey, let's talk about this on Skype and then you can just post it as a podcast. And Mark's like, what, a podcast? How do I do that? And long story short, he figured it out. One thing led to another. He did a series of podcasts. We started to look at the numbers saying, well, we got thousands of people listening to this podcast, hundreds of people reading these blogs. Let's put more energy into these podcasts. And things just kind of snowballed from there. And like how I started with criminal justice, that's a longer, more complicated story, but I'm happy to get into that.
Well, no, I mean, if this is the thing. A lot of people don't understand when they hear the word prison, they think of, one of many things, concentration camp, punishment, crime and punishment. There's been so much glamorization of the FBI. They had the FBI story. They have bad boys. They got all that stuff on TV and they programmed society to believe in police state behavior. And this is why, when you have issues like what happened with Jordan Neely or George Floyd, people like this, all of a sudden everybody starts screaming bloody murder that they want justice and they want somebody to hang, somebody who's got to pay. Cop accidentally shoots an innocent bystander and the bystanders to speak. I'm talking about Breonna Taylor. Then you've got a situation with this mall shooter where one of the victims, the actual perpetrator's mother is like, and we're talking about the guy that shot. She's on camera saying, I feel so sorry for the victim's mother because she didn't educate him right. And now she's paying the consequence of not having her son around anymore. I mean, this is the kind of behavior that it's like, man, we're society. Its moral compass has kind of gone off the rails, mm-hmm. don't you think?
No, I do think so. And, I think people are quick to blame government. We want to point to this political party, or that political party. But we have a huge cultural problem in this country. And I think libertarians, they always want to blame the state, you know, the state did this, the state did that. And yeah, the state has done a lot of terrible things. I'm not to put the state off the hook, but I think we need to remember that the state, the government, yeah, it's your neighbor. Sometimes literally it's your neighbor working for the federal government, state government, your community government, or at the very least they voted for that. Or if they didn't vote, you know, they sat back and they're partaking in the process in some way. So, you know, people designate these things and they create these monsters when in reality, it's the people around us that have created the situation. That's really something that I've been trying to get across to people lately, you know, rather than, you know, going on Twitter and I still do this, it's hard to stop. And
I know
getting arguments with people, maybe try introducing yourself to your neighbors again and talking to them, getting involved in your community, running for school board, things like that. I mean, running for school board in this day and age is a highly divisive process, but I think conservatives and libertarian minded people need to do that. Libertarians always kind of shy away from, you know, trying to influence a school board because they're more so for homeschooling, but they forget about all the rest of the kids who will not be homeschooled and are going to be raised next to their kids.
Well, you know, but that's
the culture we were talking about.
John, it's interesting that you would bring that up because we have a lot of homeschoolers and homeschool moms and dads mm-hmm. listening to this show. And see, the thing is that when people don't like the education system and what it's become, and they hear Randy Panda get on and start ranting and raving about locking down the schools and about how, you know, the teachers are more important than the kids, and the lockdowns were necessary and the teachers are getting compensated and all the other garbage that's going on. And then you're finding out that you can't even show up at a school board meeting and protest the rape of your ninth grader without getting tackled by cops. I mean, this goes against libertarianism to its core. And this is why people are taking kids out of school and saying, you know what, you're going to stay at home. We're going to find a curriculum that works for you. And mom and dad are going to take a more active role in your life and raise you up right so that you grow up and be a productive American citizen. And I'm glad that entrepreneurship is one of the things that you've been promoting, because I've been promoting that on the show about finding ways to start up an LLC or some way, because of tax avoidance, there's nothing illegal about it. And, you know, I found out as a sole proprietor how easy it is to get audited by the IRS and fleece for thousands of dollars, whereas an LLC, you never get audited. It's rare that they ever audit corporations because it's all about corporatism and what they can get, what our government can get corporations to do that it legally can't do itself, like censor mm-hmm. people on Twitter and YouTube and every other channel. And this is a problem. I mean, you and I both know this as libertarians. Of that philosophy, and I'm going to get emails from people going, Krieger, you're not libertarian. You don't even know the meaning of libertarian. And, you know, it's like, look, I know enough to know that, you know, when they censor freedom of speech, that's when the killing starts.
No, 100% agree. Just to backtrack, I mean, if it seemed like I was dumping on homeschool people, I wasn't.
No, you weren't. You weren't dumping. I get it. I get it.
First of all, I just want to make clear, like, if people, you know, can homeschool and have the means to do it, that's what they want to do, I think that's very, very important. People should be doing that. Yeah, all I was saying is that, yeah, we should be doing both, trying to influence, you know, culture both ways. But, yeah, I forget where I was going with that after that. But
it happens. We get derailed like a subway train. Yeah, the guy that Denny just surrendered to police and that Jordan Neely killing, we're just getting word over the news wire on that this morning. Yeah. So, you know, see, when they start screaming, Alvin Bragg jumps. And see, this is why you can never get a fair trial in Manhattan, because of the kind of behavior that's going on there. But see, these people did this to themselves. And, you know, when you live in a blue state, and this is a thing that we've become, blue states and red states. And this is mm-hmm. why I adopted my Dr. Seuss version of one state, two state, red state, blue state. You know, we do this because now we're that divisive, and people, literally family members, have turned against each other. I mean, we have one source of that to blame, and that's mainstream mm-hmm. media. The government locks us down. We're supposed to trust in the government. People have turned away from God and put their faith in government, and government put out a jab that is killing millions of Americans and adversely affecting others. and then denying that the jab had anything to do with it, and covering up the data, covering up the facts, covering up the real intention, holding secret meetings, trying to determine how to steal the 2024 election. I mean, all of it goes against the libertarian faith, so to speak, to see junk like this happening in America. And it seems like we're kind of in the minority here, John.
Yeah, it does. One thing with the jab, if we can go into that a little bit, I don't believe the numbers that are being reported on the number of people who have been jabbed. I think they say something like 80% of the U.S. population has.
220 million is the last I heard. That was about two-thirds of the population.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and this is anecdotal, of course, and of course it's influenced by my circle of friends, but it's nothing close to that. I mean, not even anywhere approaching that number. So I don't know. That's just a thought. But I mean, one thing is, it does seem at least like, you know, not everyone who got jabbed is dropping dead now. So that's a good thing. Not to say that there weren't, you know, terrible side effects. And I definitely think it did kill people. Hopefully, maybe we're getting past that point. Hopefully a lot of people have realized, you know, I don't need this jab anymore. I've had COVID 2-3 times. And it's really not even circulating, in the world right now. So hopefully we're past some of those complicated or some of those questions. But the thing that I'm worried about is what comes next. We saw the power, like you just talked about. We saw the power of the media. We saw the power of pharmaceutical companies. We saw them working in lockstep with the government to dictate and really lock people in their homes. And I forget which comedian said this in a SNL. Woody Harrelson said it on SNL. Essentially, you know, he was, you know, pitching a fictional movie, saying that, you know, the pharmaceutical companies or the government locked people in their homes and wouldn't let people out until they took the pharmaceutical product. I didn't take the script. I didn't believe it. But that's exactly what happened. And for a lot of people who fell for it and you know, got jabbed, I feel, you know, feel terrible for them. I have a lot of family members, a lot of friends who did, and you know, fingers crossed there won't be health problems. But I'm worried about what comes next. What are they going to use next to control us? And I mean, the thing that I think is at the forefront right now is a central bank digital currency, a CBDC, and it's frightening. I mean, it's absolutely frightening. I don't think a lot of people realize the amount of control that the Federal Reserve, really, this private organization, if they are the one issuing it, which I believe they will be, which essentially is just a cartel of banks, are the control they're going to have over your life. The money that you have in your bank account will not be your money. It's going to be contingent upon you acting in a certain way and you doing the things that are on the approved list, essentially a way to manage your social credit.
Yeah, Winston Smith, love Big Brother. I just got this new book in the mail. Well, it's not a new book. It's been out a while. Thank you, Sherry in Kansas, for reminding me to get a copy of this. I just got it in the mail. It's called Money by Understanding and Creating Alternatives to Legal Tender by Thomas H. Greco, Jr. I snagged the last copy on Amazon. Anyway, no, I'm sure you can find another copy out there somewhere, but I had to go get it because I want to start deep diving into it. Because, see, way back when, this is how we existed. In fact, there are still flea markets all over the place. In fact, I think once they start with the central bank digital currency, I think you're going to see the shadow economy just explode. And people are going to be looking to horse trade and go in the barter network. And it has to happen sooner than later, which is why when you brought up the idea of becoming more active in your community, first off, you have to get together with like-minded people. And if you're in a mixed bag, like in a major American city right now that could be potentially invaded by illegal immigrants, you have bigger fish to fry and things to worry about than you do all due to multiculturalism. And so this is what's going to destroy this country, is that we have a runaway government that's basically become a uniparty system. There are a lot of people out there that would tell me, no, Krieger, that's not the way it works. And I'm like, well, but you can't see that when they're all using the word democracy, that is not what we have here. We have a constitutional republic. People seem to forget it. In fact, I posted it Tucker Carlson needs to stop using that word democracy if he wants to gain anybody's respect, because we live in a constitutional republic. And immediately 27 people liked what I said. So when you get that kind of idea and that kind of truth bomb out there, you know, people understand it politically. We have a government that is not in our favor. They're working against us. And we have to wonder, you know, what our next move is in America. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I 100% agree. And just looking at the 2024 election, you know, we're going to have Joe Biden, who it's incredible to think that he could get reelected. But I live in Pennsylvania, so I saw what happened with John Fetterman. So of course,
yeah,
of course, Joe Biden can get reelected. I mean, since
you like Pennsylvania, I want to see the I've used this before. I'm like, Biden Fetterman 2024. It's a no brainer. Bumper sticker.
Honestly, that could win. That could win the presidency. That's where we are right now. If you've seen the movie Idiocracy, that is literally where we are. But there are people on this is both sides of the aisle, but I do think it's more so Democrats who they are so loyal to their team, and it's more than loyalty. There is so much hatred and fear about the other team. There's so much fear about Donald Trump. And I've talked to people face to face in Pennsylvania who've told me that they voted for John Fetterman just because Dr. Oz was a Donald Trump guy. So essentially they were opposing Donald Trump. So they weren't voting for John Fetterman. They were voting against Donald Trump. And I mean, so Trump's going to run again. He's probably going to get the nomination unless something crazy happens. And I really would not be surprised at all if we get another 4 years of Joe Biden, it's not really Joe Biden. It's just the Democratic establishment that's, propping him up and just, puppeting him to say different things. But
yeah, what's dangerous, if he dies in office, we have Chlamydia Harris to deal with.
Yeah, I don't even know where to go with that, to be honest.
Yeah, I understand completely. I don't know where to go with it either. I mean, it's like, what kind of drugs is she on?
I don't know. I've never seen anybody completely lose the ability to string coherent sentences together repeatedly.
And he's made her.
Obviously, she's being coached. I'm sure she has a policy team around her, probably has outlines and notes in front of her.
See, I thought they all quit, like everybody else in her cabinet. Here's a bigger problem. I mean, it is a joke. And you look at the fact he just made her the AI czar. And I'm like, and I made a joke of it earlier in the show saying AI, it's more like E-I-E-I-O.
Well, maybe that's what they do. Maybe they'll just be able to program her up with some AI, and that'll be that'll be the next president.
Wow, we're gonna have a fembot for president. Oh, now this. Oh my God! All right, I knew what you're thinking. it's a bit nutty. It's a bit nutty. Yeah, that's it. Oh my God! You remember that from Austin Powers?
Of course.
Yeah. All right, we are at the break. Hold on, we got some music coming up. Time just gets away from us when we're having all this fun. John Odermatt is with us. We will be back after the break here at the bottom of the hour. And maybe make some of your phone calls if you have some middle of the conversation. We'd love to have you. Power Hour in motion right now. We'll be back after these words. Stay with us.
iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's It's Joyce Reilly with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Yes, friends.
Power to the people.
And you are my friends.
Power to the people.
Does it look rather weird
Power
here?
To the people.
I feel like I'm sitting in the frozen tundra.
Power to the people.
Oh, 32 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time here in the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. John Odermatt is joining us here at the podium. Looks like we're sitting at a big podium, doesn't it?
I wish I can't see the background. I wish I could.
Yeah, I could see the background. It's kind of interesting. We're sitting together like this. I feel like I'm almost like in Saturday Night Live and Point Counterpoint. Jane, you ignorant slut. Anyway, so yeah, I love those. The first time I heard Dan Aykroyd do that, I fell out of my chair. We just put the kid down. He was sleeping, and I mean, I woke him up. I was laughing so hard. See, the thing is that, you know, even way back when we could joke about stuff like this, and now you can't do that anymore. Now it's offensive. I mean, you see how society has turned on its ear, and now you're accused of being everything and his brother a racist or whatever. Stereotypical is what we used to call it way back when, and it evolved into racist. So, and I'm half Polish, and I love Polak jokes. So this is the funny thing about it. You know, we can cut up and have fun here because this is freedom of speech. Phone lines are open right now, 844-769-2944. If you want to engage, that's what conversation is all about, freedom of speech, while you still have it. It is the First Amendment of the Constitution. We live in a constitutional republic. Mm-hmm. You have every right to join us in this conversation if you wish. Don't be timid. We won't bite. You can ask John a multitude of questions. I mean, we've when we're talking about community here, and the fact that we're going to, if this thing gets to mission critical, with the CBDC and everything else that they're trying to program. Half of America believes that it's convenient. Don't worry about it. As long as you're a good little dutiful citizen, you'll be just fine. And as long as you're not going out buying guns and ammunition with your bank account and your debit card, and you won't have to worry about cash anymore. I mean, look at it. They made it so convenient to use your debit card. Oh, but what's next? Oh, it's so convenient. Just let them put the chip in your hand, and then you can just pass it over the scanner. And half of my listeners think it's the mark of the beast.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to eat meat more than once a month. I mean, come on, people. Like, don't be greedy about this. It's just
yeah.
a problem
with
that.
You can eat bugs. Be bugs. Yeah. You can eat bugs. Yeah.
Bugs are good for you. It's good protein. Come on, people. Grow up.
Shut up and eat your grub worms. Yeah.
It's good for the climate. Come on. Let's all worry about the climate. This is a bigger conversation. This is about Mother Earth. This isn't about you, you stupid individual. This is about the world. Care about the world. Come on.
You know, it's sad, John, that we have a condescending government, isn't it?
A gaslighting government.
It's
incredible. I've never seen, and maybe I was just younger and don't remember it, but I've never seen a president gaslight the people like Joe Biden has. He'll literally, where he was, you know, going out threatening people to get this jab, and then fast forward a year later, it's like, we didn't force you to take this jab. Nobody forced you.
No, we just scared the hell out of you. That's all we did. Yeah. We locked you up in your houses and programmed you with so much filth and trash and lies. And now we're coming to find out. And Fauci's nowhere to be found. Walensky just quit her job. Well, you don't need me anymore. It's all over with. Birx writes a book, a tell-all, saying, oh, yeah, we made the whole thing up. All the masks and all the 6 feet distancing, all this other stuff, social. Yeah, it was all made up. Stop the spread 15 days. You know, we have to extend it to 30 and then 45 and then 2 months and let's shut down the businesses. And what? You're holding church services? Arrest that pastor. You know, this is the kind of stuff that we've been subjected to the last 3 years. And it's no wonder America. See, now once we're done with that and they've got us totally, half of America totally brainwashed into believing whatever the government says is true, and they babbled through mainstream media. Now we have a real crisis because now our southern border is being invaded, and what's a mother to do? Serve your family total? I don't think so. Tim in Michigan, you're on the phone with John Odermatt. Go ahead.
Yeah, the mark of the beast isn't going to be the digital system, but that is going to be the beast system. The mark of the beast is if you're worshiping the Antichrist when Christ returns.
Yeah, thanks for the clarification on that. What
and
more do you have to add? Some more. I'm not done with that thought process. I'm still listening.
And who can do war with the beast? And think, and that's such a true statement, because you won't be able to do anything with the digital currency unless you're allowed to do it.
Yeah, that is kind of sad. But see, that's the thing, that we're not looking forward to that because, see, they literally have complete financial control over you if it goes digital and you don't have an alternative means of surviving. You have to literally, and we've had people on the show that have said this, John may agree with this, you have to become more self-sufficient and more resilient and self-reliant in order to survive this thing, because when it comes, and it will, because they've already warned you that it's coming.
Yeah,
they already warned you. It's in your face about it.
Do you believe they tested the system with the lockdowns to see how many people would be compliant and who would turn who in? Because I know locally people were complaining about restaurant owners that stayed open and take pictures, and it was like a little, you know, spy system that was going on.
Yeah, rat thy neighbor out. Yeah. Yeah, this is what they've been told to do.
I think it was a test. And the crazy thing is that if you think back to those lockdowns, and people have different experiences, obviously there are people who lost businesses and people who lost their jobs, but there was a large portion of the world who were able to work remotely, and they had a couple months, or it turned into, they're still working remotely. I'm one of those people. But they had months where it was like a party. It was, you know, people really weren't working. They were just drinking all day and, you know, going on Skype or Zoom at night, talking to their friends. So they want you to have this like positive memory of the of this pandemic lockdown. So the next lockdown, if it's over climate change or whatever, it's over. It's like, oh, remember that lockdown? It wasn't that bad. It was just a couple weeks And we just have to lock down to save the, you know, save the climate, save the world for a month here. We'll just do it for a month, no travel, nothing, and then we'll let you out. But they won't let you out this time. And they'll have measures in place like a CBDC in order to ensure that. That's my fear. And that's like super doomsday. And I hope that's not true. Hopefully I'm, you know, totally wrong on that. But 100% agree with you, Dave, on the self-sufficiency. And it's not only being self-sufficient. And I think you mentioned this before. It's building a network of people and surrounding yourself with people and being able to plug into different networks to be able to get what you need to survive and protect your family. And one really cool thing that the it's not really the Libertarian Party. It's a caucus within the Libertarian Party called the Mises Caucus, which is recently they overtook the Libertarian Party in the last round of elections. They have a great network, like I don't want to call it underground network, but essentially is. It's on Signal, where all of these different, you know, chapters, you know, across the country are connected. And it's not people just talking politics and how to get people elected, because libertarians really don't get people elected, but it's talking about, you know, finding local farmers and things like that. So I think it's important to plug into those networks.
Let me get this, because I'm writing this down. Go ahead and give me the name of that group again.
So the Libertarian Party Mises Caucus.
Mises.
Ludwig
von Mises. Mises Institute.
Mises Institute. Yeah. It's not associated with the Mises Institute, but yeah, named after Ludwig von Mises. Yep.
I gotcha. Okay. That works for me. Tom in South Carolina, you're on the air with John Oderman. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of things real quick. If you're looking for something to label as a beast, it certainly could be artificial intelligence. And the final struggle could be struggle between various branches or components of artificial intelligence, using us up in the process. So what I really want to talk to your guest about, as far as libertarians go, I have been a libertarian. I still carry the card. I don't pay the dues anymore, because the leadership here in South Carolina, the upper leadership, say that we're all citizens of the world and we don't need borders. What about that?
Yeah, well, I don't know about the leadership in South Carolina. Where they fall, but I know there's diverse opinions in the Libertarian Party, especially on borders. You know, my opinion on borders is that with the situation we have that's been set up by our government, which is essentially an open door welfare state where, you know, they can come here and just, you know, get a handout. We're incentivizing them to come. And so you can't incentivize people to come and then say we should have open borders. So I am not a proponent for open borders. A lot of libertarians, you know, will fall back and say, you know, this can all be solved by property rights, you know, if we just go back. But we are so far from that. Sure, at a basis, if you want to get back to, you know, the base philosophy, the principle, sure, if we lived in a property rights-based society, we could manage it that way. But we don't, and we're never going to.
We're gonna be lucky if we have any property left over after the government is done taking it. This is a bigger problem.
Yeah. No, I agree. In the situation, I mean, especially right now, the border, it is, and I'm not in Texas, I'm in Pennsylvania. So, I mean, I'd love to hear from people in Texas, you know, what the temperature is down there. If I lived down there, I would be on edge. I can't imagine that people aren't.
Well, that's where I am right now.
On the radio?
You are?
Yeah, you are, Tom. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I consider some of these libertarians to be so theoretical that they are unreal. How about suggesting to some of them that if they don't think we need borders, why don't they just take the doors off their houses and let anybody walk through anytime they want? See how that works.
Yeah.
Bunch of idiots, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of the struggle that we, the people, have to go through right now, don't you think, John? I mean, it's a mixing of the minds, and some people come up with some irrational thoughts in the process of trying to create utopia for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, what woke me up from, you know, and I was one of those, you know, philosophical libertarians up until COVID happened. Because, you always talk about all these scenarios. What if the government does this? What if the government does that? And the government did do a lot, has done a lot of terrible things, terrible wars. I don't want to discount any of that stuff. But it hadn't really impacted, you know, my life to that degree. But when something smacks you in the face and impacts your life to that degree, it totally woke me up to the point that I realized we got to stop talking about philosophy. I mean, we are on the battlefield right now, and we have to find ways to protect our liberty that is being chipped away at every single day in some way. And, you know, it might be unconventional ways.
Appreciate your call, Tom. What do you think is, John, people could be faced with having to defend themselves as a result of this, because you've got all these gotaways that they say got into the country illegally. They're going to be, as I said to the listeners here, be very careful what you do with your car, because carjackings, car thefts, because these people got to go mobile, they are going to be committing crime. They're going to be shoplifting. They're without. They're going to be trying to make contacts to survive. They're going to go to the big cities. They're going to blend in because it's the easiest way to do it, especially blue state cities where they've defunded the police and they don't have that kind of monitoring going on. And you're going to see more and more crime. And we're talking, I am in Texas right now, north of San Antonio. So the thing is when you've got San Antonio, Houston, El Paso, the mayor of El Paso has declared another emergency after seeing 35,000 people in Juarez waiting to come across the border. Now, whether they process them in here legally or not remains to be seen. There's been so much a flurry of activity in the last 24 hours between the courts telling Biden that you have to actually document all these people before releasing them, and they have to have court dates, to lawsuits that are trying to completely stop it, to the Texas Attorney General saying, hey, we're in trouble. Our sovereignty, our liberty, our right to exist is being challenged because these people literally could show up at your doorstep, invade your home. So, I mean, all you Democrats out there that want to put gun-free zone on the front of your house, or, hey, I'm an unarmed Democrat, come on in, great day for home invasion, put a sign like that up in your yard and see how long it is before you get a visit from one of these illegals on your doorstep. That's what I call moronic. But this is the mindset of a lot of these people. Oh, we need these people here. I mean, we have a Georgia Democratic congressman out there that, well, we need these people to clean our houses and feed us. I'm like, dude, slavery went out a long time ago.
It's amazing how that is lost on people. And just to go back to the gun-free zones for a minute, it's interesting how nobody puts gun-free zone signs on their house. You don't see yard signs with gun-free zone in front of someone's house. I wonder why. I wonder why they don't do that.
Yeah, but you put a Biden sign out in front, that pretty much is a gun-free zone sign, don't you think?
I think it depends on what part of the country you're in. If you're in a city, yeah, maybe it does mean that. But if you're out in the middle of central Pennsylvania, I don't know. I think there's a lot of Democrat voters, especially in Pennsylvania, who definitely are 2A proponents and gun owners.
Yeah, probably right.
But yeah, I don't know what the answer is. You were talking about all the different lawsuits going back and forth. I can't imagine. I'm sure they're already not processing people, and they're already flooding into this country. From my understanding, is they're essentially giving them directions on where to go, or shipping them where to go to different cities.
Yep.
Which is interesting, because you had DeSantis and Abbott, who were criticized so much for shipping illegals up to different parts of the country, up in the liberal North, and now you have the Biden administration likely going to be doing the same thing. So it's just
Chicago, New York, and Philadelphia are freaking out, going, look, we're already at capacity. Don't do this. Don't send any more people here. Rockland County, New York, is starting to complain because Eric Adams from New York is sending everybody north into the upstate. And it's just like, come on, people. I mean, you invited this when you declared yourself to be a sanctuary city. You invited this process. You should have known that you were going to be facing this. What part of that didn't register when they first proposed that? And you declared yourself, give me your tired, you're poor. Well, you got more than just that invading your country as of today. People need to be worried about, and I'm not saying concerned and worried are not synonymous terms here. Worried is more effectual about the end result when it comes to how do you defend yourself, and are you going to get charged with shooting somebody trying to invade your space? Because in Texas, we've had constables tell people, if they come on your property and they try to do anything, steal your car, whatever, you shoot them in the head, not the leg, not the arm, in the head. That's an extension of your property. You have every right to defend yourself. And I wonder how many sheriffs are actually going to let them get away with doing this. Yeah, this is the bigger problem.
I had a professor in college. I'm not a lawyer, but I took a law course in college. And probably the best advice he ever gave our class, and he said this multiple times throughout the year, he said, if anyone ever breaks in your house, you shoot them and you kill them. You make sure that you kill them, because if you don't, they're going to make up some crazy story and you'll end up in prison. So that's what you have to do. I mean, if that situation happens, I don't say that lightly. I don't want someone breaking into my house.
No, I get that, John.
If somebody breaks into your house, I mean, you've got to protect yourself.
I get that. Mike in Alaska, you're on with John Odermatt. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, David. I would advise don't kill anybody, because it doesn't matter what the state law is. The feds will step in. There's nothing you can do about it with this idiot in the White House and his idiot administration and the idiots that are backing them up. They're all devil worshipers. The only chance this country has is to get Trump back in. I know he's not perfect. He's got a big mouth. He was a rookie last time. He was a Democrat most of his life. He wasn't a politician, but he's seasoned now. And he won the last time. We've got to control the vote. There's only one hope for America. Why grow a garden and become a target? Because when they overrun in L.A., I grew up in L.A. I know what that cesspool's like. When people want something, they're going to run right over your fences. They're going to knock your fences down. They're going to grab your food. Then they're going to come inside your house. I suggest don't grow a garden, because you'll be a target. The only hope we got is to get Trump back in, period. He won last time. Until people get on their knees and they're crying and suffering from depression and hurting from the beating they're taking, they might change their vote. Right now, people don't care. All they care about is personal pleasure, quick satisfaction, eye candy, video games, garbage.
Well, Mike, that makes them all targets, lose. Mike. Every single one of these people, that makes them all targets, because the more the government sees their barriers taken down, the more easily they are, they're malleable, they're pliable, and they can make them the kind of citizen they want them to be, worshiping the government at every turn and losing self-sufficiency and self-reliance. There's a lot of people out there, Mike, that are going to disagree with you about the garden. The idea is not letting everybody know, including the government, that you have a garden. A lot of people are going to be doing whatever it takes, because they have to be able to survive, and they understand. That's why we've been promoting the idea of seeds on this show.
When you have a million people, or let's say you have 10 million people running rampant, going from house to house, every city, every major city, every blue state, running house to house, destroying, burning, Molotov cocktails, pulling out their guns and just shooting you, knifing you. Do you think a garden is going to save you? No. The only thing that's going to save you is get the hell out of that blue state, get some guns, buy some ammo, stock up on hard goods, hard food, and get ready for the zombies to come, because they're coming. It's getting progressively worse. When you've got people like Fetterman in the Senate, the guy can't even – and I saw Benny Thompson, the head of the J6 committee – he can't even talk either. He chews on his words worse than Biden does.
Good night, everybody.
These pieces of crap need to be taken out. And the only thing we got to do is get the vote. Get the vote back, baby.
Well, we're going to try. Thanks, Mike, for your call. We appreciate it. Yeah, Mike, I tell you what, I love getting the input. We have a lot of really callers, man. They like to chime in on that end. And I get it. And this is why so many of our listeners are doing exactly what Mike just said. We have seen more migration to Texas and other places, Florida, from people in California, New York, New Jersey. They are getting out of all that heavy regulation, high taxes, stupid laws, and it's just nutty. Keith in Oklahoma, how are you, sir? You're on the phone. We got a couple of minutes. Go.
Real quick, I heard Mike there from Alaska, and I could not disagree more. Trump is not the answer. He threw down more authoritarian garbage during the fake scandemic than, you know, probably any president before him, with the, the list is so long, my head's spinning here, but financially incentivizing governments to create draconian laws, lockdowns. Representative for the pharmaceutical industry, blank check to the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, it just goes on and on. Red flag laws, he supports them. You know, you can go find it. But take the guns first and answer questions. He's not the answer. He is. It's just more of the same. We got to get past this Trump. We got to.
Welcome to the Unity Party.
He put Fauci in charge of the economy. I mean,
thank you. He did. Yeah, I don't agree with you there.
Yes.
Well, Keith,
I mean the list.
List goes on and on. No, I get it, Keith. I get it. Man, this has just been an interesting hour, John. I tell you, you get two libertarians talking back and forth, and then people get crazy. I love it. I love it when they do that because they call up and they comment. And Keith, I'm glad that, you know, you and I both understand what's going on here because we know exactly who did what to when. You shall know them by their fruits, folks. That's what the Bible says. If you take that in the literal translation, that means whatever they did in the past, you know what they're going to do in the future. So, you want to vote him back in? This is the thing. If he's not the one running, who's going to be in the White House in 2024? We got to start putting our faith in ourselves, folks. In the meantime, John Odermatt, thank you so much for joining us. It's been fun. We'll have to have you back again as things progress through our life in 2023 and 24. In the meantime, for all of you, Feel Good Friday has come to a close. We're going to be back again on Monday for another edition of the Power Hour. In the meantime, pray for those who are sick and affirmed. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. What's left of it? Stay safe. We'll see you Monday. The Lord of all kings, Yahweh. Joseph Sharon, King Yahweh. Righteous Son, King Yahweh. The three in one, King Yahweh.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sarah enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.